So today is the last part of our series on insecurity. Amen. And we're going to talk about giants, and we're going to talk about grasshoppers, and we're going to talk about how you see yourself. Amen. My topic is called self-perception. Amen. And I want to read some scriptures before we go into the word of before we go into preaching. Let's open our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, and then 25 through 33. A little bit of reading today. Are you guys ready for the word of God? Yes. Amen. 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 I am like a wild horse who's been tamed for a week, and I got to slow down and calm down and get this right. Amen. So, we're going to read about Israel, Moses, and 12 spies. God leads Israel out of slavery. It wasn't because Israel was strong that they came out of slavery. Did you know that? It was God's strong, miraculous hand that led him out of Israel, out of Egypt. Israel didn't part the sea in half by their own might. It was God's might that parted the sea. Israel didn't defeat the army of Egyptians with their swords and spears and arrows and war engines. God drowned them in the sea. God defeated them. Israel didn't find meat in the wilderness, in the desert, by themselves. They had a hard time finding meat, and they craved meat. So Bible says God piled up with the bird that kind of resembles a pheasant, 2 feet high for them to eat, to the point that God says it will come, start coming out of your nostrils. They didn't plant manna in a desert. God gave them manna to eat in the desert. They didn't extract water out of a rock. God gave them water out of a rock. Amen. So it was God. So now God says, I'm going to lead you into the promised land. And so God says to Moses this. So I'll just give you guys a little preview. While they were in, verse 13, yeah. The Lord now said to Moses, send out to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. Then verse 25, so they go into the promised land, 12 men go into this promised land and they observe it. And this is their report. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. Some of you know they had to carry one cluster of grapes. Two men had to carry one cluster of grapes. That's how good this land was that God was trying to take his people. The land that God is trying to take you spiritually is a good land. See, this story is not just history. This story spiritually applies to your life. What you gave up in Egypt is not as good as what God has for you in a promised land. Amen. Guys, we live in a world where there's voices that says if you give up something for God and you go serving God and you give up your plan and go and take God's plan, he's going to rob you. He's going to take from you. He's going to take your family. He's going to take your money. He's going to take your fun. He's going to take your hobbies. That's what the world kind of says about God. But that's a lie. What they had in Egypt was nothing compared to what God had for them in the promised land. Those words are not just for them, they're for you and for me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What God has for us now is greater than what we had in a life that we lived before God. Okay, we're going there. We're going there. So, but the life that God has for you is not going to be just given to you on a platter. God wants you to go and get it. Now, he's not going to get it. He's not saying you can get it with your own strength. You cannot just do it in your own power. You still need him. So you and God are going to go and get it. Amen. All right. So they reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. It's a good land, guys. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country. There you go. A land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people. There you go. There's a but. You know, isn't there always a but in your Christian life? There's always a but. But the people living there are powerful. Whoa. And their towns are large and fortified. Israel is living in tents. They're nomads pretty much right now. They don't have towers. They don't have homes. They live in tents. And so they go see these big cities. We even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak. I guess there were huge cities and huge people. Now, remember who Moses sent. He didn't send just anybody to spy the land. He sent leaders. These were not some Joe Schmo. I'm sorry if your name is Joe. No pun intended. These were not just nobodies. They were leaders of tribes. Tribes were like states in Israel. Amen? So these were leaders of states. These were strong, mighty men. And when they see this country that God has for them, I don't know, maybe they expected that it's going to be just a jungle. And we're going to come in and we're going to cut down the trees. And we're just going to live it. Going to eat the fruit, drink the milk, and suck on honey. I don't know. Maybe that's what they were thinking. And maybe that's what you think about God. Maybe the perception you have, when I give my life to God, it's just going to be smooth sailing. Yeah. It's just going to be milk and honey. Right. Now, heaven will be kind of like that. So you're not wrong. But this earth, we still live in an imperfect world. There is two kingdoms operating in this world. There is kingdom of God and kingdom of darkness. And whatever God does not possess, the kingdom of darkness possesses. Now, Jesus, when he was in the desert 40 days, Satan comes to him and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all of that because it has been handed over to me. So Satan said to Jesus, all of the kingdoms of the world are mine and I could give it to you. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm going to take it from you in another way. Yeah, it's going to be painful. It might be through the cross, but I'm going to take my land from you. Listen, you can't take anything in the kingdom of God just by saying, oh, I'm a Christian. You have to take it. The kingdom of God suffers violently, and the violent take it by force. What, Pastor? I want everything easy. I'm blessed. And no, it's not always easy. I hate to burst your bubble. It's a Memorial Day weekend, so all the people camping, they're watching us online. But anyway, I'm hoping there's mature people here. All right, so I'm talking to mature people, and God says you have to take it by force. It's not just... So, have you ever heard of a verse? Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. If you think about it, that verse, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Well, why gates of hell? Because hell has a wall around it. Satan wants to protect his, come on, territory. That's why he builds a wall and gates so God will not be able to enter and take his possession. And Satan, he tricked Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve abdicated. They gave him, right? They gave away this world. This world was given to us. God created this world for us and made us to rule and dominate over this world. Right? But when Eve disobeyed God, rebelled against God, we gave it away. And so we became slaves to sin. Ultimately, slaves to Satan. Right? That's why Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free, to open the prison gates so people can come out of their prisons, whatever your prison is or was. For many of you, it was addiction. For any criminal activity. For many of you, it was just crazy lifestyle. But he said, I come to set you free. Now back to the gates. The church was never meant to be on defense. The church was always meant to be on the offense. And here is why. Because God wanted us to knock the gates down. Amen. And take territory from the enemy. Amen. You were not created to defend your little church. You were created to go into this world, preach the gospel, break the gates of enemy, who is Satan, and take people who are now going to hell so they can go and live in eternity with God. Amen. We are not protecting. It's not church's gates. It's the Hades gates that we are to attack. And Jesus said, I shall build. Are you being blessed by this? You gotta believe it. That's you he's talking about. He's gonna build Van. He's gonna build Alex. He's gonna build Junior. And the gates of hell will not stop us. Stop us from what? They will not restrict us. Amen. Have you heard the world says, why don't you just preach your stuff, your religion in your church? Why don't you practice your religion in your church? Why do you have to go and evangelize? Why can't you guys just shut up? Right? That's what the world says. But church was never meant to be defensive. Church was meant to attack the enemy's gates. Amen. We're to take the land that belongs to God and bring it back to God, spiritually speaking. You are called to go on the offensive. Christian, you are called to go on the offensive. Satan is well protected. He's trying to protect his territory. But guess what? When you knock on his gates, the hinges break. Amen. They can't hold you down. They can't hold you back. They can't hold you at bay. The church is advancing. Over 2 billion people in the world right now are followers of Christ. Amen. And we're expanding. And we're growing. And new life is growing. And God is good. Woo! Amen. Put that verse back. So how do we get that land, that promised land? We're going to have to go and take it. But the truth is this. You're not going to take it in your own strength. Jesus said this to his disciples. Don't leave Jerusalem until you are filled with the Spirit. He said this, you shall receive the power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you are filled with the Spirit, you have power. When you are filled with the Spirit, you can be a witness in Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. It wasn't meant to just be a Jewish religion. It wasn't just meant to be Samaritan religion. It was meant to be the whole world. And Bible says, one day the earth shall be filled with the glory of God like water that covers the sea. Meaning in this sea there's not a hole, a bubble, that there's no water. I mean, there's just air bubble maybe. But the sea covers, the water covers the sea completely. It fills every crevice and nook and cranny or whatever. It fills everything, amen? And that's what God wants to do. But He's going to use you. You're going to go with Him to take the land. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to follow my notes today, if that's okay. Because, but I'll try to be quick here. There's three types, at least three types of faith. There's human faith. Okay? What is human faith? It's the ability that you have to believe into something. Did you know you don't need to be a religious person to have faith? Right? What makes a person climb Mount Everest, overcome air problem thing, overcome cold and wind, and they have to plan perfectly? What makes a person achieve great things? Is it God who's making them achieve those things? No, not necessarily. It's human faith. Right? You don't need God to have faith. Help me out. Some of you are like, heresy, I knew it. You don't need God to have faith. You were created in the image of God. God has faith, so you have faith. You don't have to be a Christian to love, right? Come on. True. You don't have to be a Christian to be wise. There's not wise Christians. Faith is the same thing. You got to understand, there's faith. Now, a lot of people in the world, they take that faith and they go onto the moon. They go into space. They create these great discoveries. It's not because God is doing it. It's because of their human faith. They believe there's something greater. There's something more. And they reach for it. What makes people build a ship and fly it into space? Right? Human faith. You have human faith. Everybody does. Now, some of you have greater human faith. Some of you have small human faith. Some of you have mustard seed. Some of you have half of it, maybe. Human faith. Human faith is great. The people in the world use human faith. We, however, in a church, we like to abandon human faith. Yeah, we sometimes we're so spiritual. We're like, God is going to do it. Okay. And God is like, I'm not going to go to work for you. You got to go get a job and work 8 hours a day or 10 or 12, whatever. God is going to do everything for us. And we Christians have misunderstood that God works with our faith. So there's second type of faith. That's God type of faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. That means put your human faith, because human faith is limited. Yeah. There is a ceiling to your faith. Bill Gates has a ceiling to his faith. Help me out. Right? Steve Jobs, who's dead now, had a ceiling to his faith. There's so much you can do. And people realize that there's a ceiling to my faith, so they look at something to put their faith into. We as Christians, we're called to put our faith in God. Meaning what we cannot do in our own, we unite our faith with God's faith, and that faith produces miracles. Now, people in this world, some put faith in the devil. Did you know that? They come to the devil and they say, "Devil, help me be successful." They realize on their own there's a ceiling. But if I can put my faith into magic, if I can put my faith into spells, if I can put my faith into witchcraft, if I can go to a witch doctor and I could put my faith in him, or into psychic and put my faith into that world, well, maybe I can achieve something greater than I can on my own. God says, don't go to the devil for faith. God says, unite your faith with my faith. Have faith in God. Now, sometimes Jesus would say to his disciples, where am I going with this, God? Sometimes Jesus would say to his disciples, he would say this, if you had a faith of a... meaning, God doesn't need a lot of your faith to do something great. God says, if you can put a drop in a cup, if you can put just a little bit in a cup, I can do the rest. I can fill the rest. That's what a lot of Christians don't understand. We either say, I'm going to do it myself, or we're going to say, God is going to do it. We don't understand that our faith works with God. We are co-workers with God. You can't do it on your own. And God is not going to do it for you. He wants to join. He wants a relationship. He wants a union with you. A lot of times we come to God and say, God, bless me. And we use our faith and believe in God. And then we get blessed. And then we say, God, thank you. I got it from here. And we don't understand that ours was just a tiny drop. Ours was just the mustard seed. It was his faith that did that. Israel, who brought you out of Israel, out of Egypt? You had just a tiny bit to believe Moses, right? And to believe God. God did the rest. Uniting our faith with God. Christians, your faith with God. A lot of times we say, God won't do anything in my life because you don't do anything, your part. You don't have that mustard seed. And God says, give me the mustard seed and I can multiply it. God says to the disciples, let's feed these 5,000 men and plus women and children. They said, Lord, we can't afford it. There's not enough food. He said, what do you have? What do you have? What does this have to do with insecurity? Just wait. I'm making a long road there. A little detour. Just a little bit. Amen. It's a road trip. We were in Minneapolis 2 days ago, and another road trip. I'm like, I've never seen so many trucks pulling a camper. And I'm like, will there be anybody in church today? I mean, everybody was pulling a camper. I'm like, and they're all going north. I guess it's a good thing, good lakes and stuff in the north. But anyway, where was I? Hold on. What? Connecting. Yeah. All that. You got it, right? You got it. God and you. You and God. Not just God, not just you. You and God. That's what Christian life is all about. What God is asking you to do, it's going to take your faith and God's faith. Some of you are praying, God, heal our marriage. And God is like, well, can you get a book? Can you just use a little bit of faith? I can do it, but can you try? Yeah, right. Oh, no. I don't read. And God is like, I can't do anything with you. Bible calls that a fool. Amen. God bless my business. Well, do you get an education? Do you go try to open them? No, I'm just waiting for God to drop it on my lap, Pastor. God says, would you make a step so I can bless it? I'm going to make a statement, and it's probably going to sound arrogant, but I don't care, because it's not coming out of an arrogant heart. It wasn't God who built my business. Yeah, it wasn't God who built my business. I'm sorry. And it wasn't I who built my business. God didn't build my business, and I didn't build my business. It was that connection with God. God didn't build this church. And we didn't build this church. It was a connection with God. You got to get this, because a lot of people come to God and they expect Him to do something. And I see this. For 3 months, you were excited about God. You just got saved. And then at 3 months, you're like, nothing is happening. I was better off in Egypt. I'm going back. You know why? Because you just put everything on God. You drop all your stuff on God. And God says, no, I'm going to work with you. I want to work with you. I want to show you great and mighty things. In the Garden of Eden, God would come on a daily basis, and in the cool of the day, He would instruct Adam and Eve of what to do, of how to trim trees and how to take care of that garden. God wants to work with you. Do not abandon God. Don't abandon God in your family. Say, we can do it ourselves, or God, you heal our family. No, work with Him. Don't abandon God in your business. Don't abandon God with your kids. Don't abandon God in anything. A lot of times we're insecure because we want to do it on our own and nothing happens. Or we fail, fall on our face. Or we want to say, God, you do it, and then nothing happens. And we're like, God, why aren't you doing anything? And God says, this is how I work. I'm not going to do how you wanted it. I'm going to join with you if you let me. If you get a job, I'm going to bless you. If you start a business, I'm going to bless you. If you try loving your wife, I'm going to bless you. If you try to respect your husband, I'm going to bless you. Amen. If you get up in the morning and go to work, I'm going to bless that. If you try living healthier, I'm going to bless that. If you start giving, I'm going to bless that. See, God wants to bless, but you have to give Him something. Otherwise, He would be a tyrant. He would force something you don't want. And how do I know you have faith? You make a step. Bible says this. Come near to God and He will draw near to you. So what do you got to do? Pastor, I'm raising money for something great. I'm going to do this and this. I'm like, how much did you raise? Oh, it's still zero. Can you please put money there? I'm like, I'm not putting money there because you don't believe in it. How much of your money are you going to put in? I asked. Well, I don't have any. I have so many bills. When people tell me that and they send me a link to something, I'm like, if you're not believing in what you're doing, I'm not going to give a penny there. If you even put $5 in there, amen, I'm gonna match it or give more. But if you don't believe in what you're doing, faith acts. You see people of action, right? You see people of faith by their actions. Amen. Whoa. Promised land. What verse did we stop at, Dougie? Come on. 29. So the Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. So for us, it doesn't mean anything, but for them, these were powerful people. That's like saying United States is coming. United States of America, they possess that country. You're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't mess with them. They got the best weapons. I heard about them. They're a superpower, right? We shouldn't mess with them. All right? So that's how they, when they read that, Hittites. Oh, man. I don't know about that. Hittites, man, I don't know. Promised Land has Hittites? Yeah. Jebusites, oh, Jebusites, no. We can't take them. Oh, no, 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 we can't go after them, right? Amorite, oh. And their heart goes, and every time their heart goes lower, every time you see a problem in the Promised Land, you're like, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do it. If God says you can do it, and you believe you can do it, then you can do it. Amen. You, meaning God and you, can do it. Live in a hill country. The Canaanites, oh no, not these guys. It's like all of them together. Live in a coast of the Mediterranean Sea, along the Jordan Valley. And so, guess what people started doing? They sat and they started crying. And the 10 spies were telling them, man, there's giants, there's big walls, there's war engines, the cities are fortified and protected, we can't take it. Yeah. Whose report will you believe? Yeah. I will believe in report of the Lord. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Whose report will you believe? Yeah. Some of you just came out of Egypt. And now you're like, what am I going to do? I believe God, but nothing is happening. You got to believe God. Believe God is not a one-time thing. It's a believe. You believe God. And what He said in your life, He will do. And I tell people, give God 6 months. Give God a year and see what He does. Don't judge Him in 3 weeks. God didn't do anything. I'm done. I'm going to try another cult, another religion. I'm going to try another whatever, doctrine. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land. Amen. Guys, saints, it was impossible to take that land. Israel didn't have any weapons. They had sticks and pitchforks. And bones for weapons. It was impossible. But God wasn't asking them to do something on their own.
Yeah. Amen.
How many of you know a name? Gideon.
Yeah.
God says, I'm going to call you to fight an army of 300,000 people. And then God says, gather an army. Okay? So 10,000 came. And God says, too many. Too many. So God says, bring him by the river and let him drink. And the guys who drink certain ways, select them. And there was 300 of them. And then He says, don't give him weapons. Give him jars, candles, and sticks. And God says, go with that. See, God doesn't need a lot of your faith. That's what I'm saying. He just needs a little bit of your faith. Just enough to move. Right? And so Gideon takes the army of 300 with no weapons, with jars, candles, and sticks. And he goes and he yells. At the middle of the night, he yells and they start breaking the jars. And God does the rest. 300,000 people start fighting against each other. They get so confused and they kill one another. And the rest of them run away. And so 300 men, without drawing a weapon, walk into the land and take what God has for them. What they need to take. See, God is not asking you to do it on your own. God says, when I'm sending you somewhere, when I created you, I never created you to do it on your own. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And that's what I believe in. Some, I'm just pulling all the verses in the Bible. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord. Oh man, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other man who had explored the land, that's the 10 other spies with him, disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. Duh. Duh. That's like, of course. Did you defeat Egypt with your strength? Did Egyptian let you go because you were so strong and you... Did the birds, the pheasants came and piled up in two feet from the ground? Was it because you were such a good hunters? They're stronger than we are. Duh. But Satan is so strong. Duh. But that's why God didn't say go fight him in your own strength. That's why he says in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Demons, run. In the name of Jesus. It's coming out of the spirit, you guys. It's not notes. It's next week. I guess I won't finish the series. I'm sorry. Come next week. I'll finish it. I promise. But what I want you to get out of it today is the reason you can be confident because it's not you. Unless it is you. The reason you can be confident because you're united in Christ. You're one with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives within me. And if you can get that concept, when you look at yourself, you don't see the sinful, dirty, filthy, negative thinking person. When you see Christ in you, everything changes. When you look at yourself, you gotta see Christ, not you. Because if you focus on you, if I focus on me, guys, I want to drop the mic and I want to run from here. Because I'm not that good. And you're not that good. I see Christ working today in this church. I see people full of Christ here today. And God is looking at Christ today, not you. And your sin. God is not looking at your sin. He's looking at Christ in you. And guess what? He's pleased. Because he says, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. It's not in me he's pleased. It's in Christ. In me. Unite yourself with Christ. Walk daily with Christ. Trust in Christ. Build your business with Christ. Get a job and succeed at your job in Christ. Be Christ in your family. Be Christ to your children. Be Christ. Can I finish my scripture, please? We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. Verse 32. So they spread bad report about the land among the Israelites. To the point where Israelites got so... They believed the negative report. Why is it so much easier to believe the negative report? Why is it so much easier to believe that voice, negative voice in our head that tells you you're worthless, you're nobody, you're ugly? Why is it so much easier to believe that you will never make it? You know that's not God. God says you can. You are... Next week. The land we travel through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. So basically they're saying God lied. Pastor lied. Your preacher lied. Prophet lied. Yes, thank you. God is not going to do what he says. Anyone who goes to live there, all the people we saw there were huge. We even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshopper. And that's what Satan wants you to believe. What is your self-perception? Are you a grasshopper mentality? Is that who you are? It means you believed another voice. You believed another report. And you have to cancel that report against you. Because that report was sent to destroy you and keep you down. Jesus said, I've come to give you a different report. You're a child of God. You're forgiven. You're a righteousness of God. You live by faith and not by sight. You call those things that be not as though they were. Amen. Your words have power. If you speak to the mountains, it will move. If you speak to the root of the tree, it will be uprooted. How do you see yourself? How do you look at other people who are more successful than you? Do you go like, and then you shrink in a second? I told you McDonald's story, right? Sitting with my daughter at McDonald's, somebody, a guy, and I was dirty, going to work, clothes and stuff like that. And another family, or maybe just a guy, comes in with his kids, and he's dressed very nice. And in a second, I felt like, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as smart, wise, loving, love-worthy? Or do you see yourself as a grasshopper? Something to step on. Something to be destroyed. And that's what they thought too. And here's insecurity. Here's insecurity, guys. Is seeing yourself not how God sees you, but seeing yourself by the voice that's whispered from the enemy in your life. Here's the root of insecurity. Is, and that's what they thought too. Meaning, the 10 spies already assumed that these giants thought they were grasshoppers. Is that how you see yourself? That's not how God sees you. God says, let the weak say, I am strong. See, the thing about God, He doesn't use giants. He uses regular people. Guys, this is the truth right here. Saul was head taller and shoulders taller, and God rejected him. David was not as tall as Saul. David was average guy. God uses average people. Because He knows that if they have just a tiny bit of faith, and if He can unite His faith, if He can put His power and His anointing up on them, nothing will be impossible for them. It takes a little bit. Some of you like, if I had big faith, God says, I don't need it. Because you might be relying on yourself. God says, all I need is a mustard seed, a grain of sand. If you can give me that, I can use it and I can do what I have called you to do. And I can do what I have predestined you before the foundation of the world to do in this world. You're not just a number. You're not a mistake. You have a purpose. I want to use you. You're either a Gideon or you're a part of Gideon's army, but you are somebody. And you can be secure in that. God says, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not below. That's how God thinks of you. Satan says, you are the tail. You are below. You are nobody. You are worthless. God says, no, no, no. You are the head. Listen, God brought you here so you can hear this. You are the head. God brought you here to tell you, you are God's masterpiece. Some of you are like, I'm so ugly, I'm so fat, I'm so skinny, I'm so tall, I'm so short. Can you put that scripture, Ephesians 2:10? Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. If you're struggling with self-worth, if you're struggling with how you look, this is your verse. Write it down. Facebook it so you don't forget it. Okay? Take a picture. I don't know. Do something. Yeah. For we are God's masterpiece. Which part of that don't you get? But I'm not as good looking as that guy. Listen to the sermon number 5 or 6. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can anew, meaning the old is gone. Don't measure yourself based on who you were before Christ or who you were yesterday. Don't measure yourself to that. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago, before the foundation of the world. You are God's masterpiece. You have a purpose. You're not just a mistake. You're not just a number. You either are David, who goes and kills the Goliath, or you're part of Israel who goes and takes the spoil. You're either Gideon, or you're part of his 300, or you're Israel who comes and just, after everything is said and done, you come in and just grab your blessing. But you are not a mistake. You're not a mistake, and that's why you can be secure. If God be for us, if I'm united with God like this, if me and God are tight, who? Paul asked that question. Who could be against you? Who dares? Do you know that God has your back, my brother? Do you know that God has your back? My son, I hope he knows. Junior, I hope you know. If somebody messes with you, your dad is gonna get involved. Right? Parents, if somebody messes with your kids, you're gonna get involved. Especially if they're really small and somebody really big is messing with them. You say, pick somebody your own side. Meaning, I got my children's back. You got your children's back, right? God has your back. And what you do is, if you could just believe a mustard seed that He has your back, my goodness, Satan, you will be so secure because God has my back. I wish I had a tall guy who would go and stand behind me, and I would say, this guy got my back. I don't have to worry about it. Amen. But it's too late. I don't have any more time to make examples. Maybe second service, okay? But God has your back. If God is for you, who can be against you? Guys, when David realized who was in him, Psalm 139, 14. I got so much to say. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I got goosebumps. See, when you believe devil's report, you can't praise him. So you rob God of praise. And when you rob God of praise, you rob yourself of the blessing that comes when you praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. No praise, no inhabitation of God. You start praising, God comes down. When David realized who was in him, who he's anointed by, I will praise you. That's what it was. It was like, it wasn't even loud. It was like, I will praise you. I'm going all crazy on you, loco. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Struggling with your looks, that's your verse. Write it down. Take a picture. Marvelous are your works, God. And that my soul knows very well. God wants you to know that He's in you on the deep part of your soul. That any thought that comes into your head telling you otherwise, you would say, my soul knows that very well. I know it in the deep parts of me, of who I am in God, and who God is in me, and who we are together.